مولانا علي علي مولانا علي مولانا علي مولى علي علي مولى علي
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وهو خير موفق ومعين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. First I must apologize for last night. I was unable to show up. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of God and by your prayers, I'm feeling better tonight. So, in my previous speeches, we talked about how God describes the end of humankind in different ways. One way in which He describes this end is liqa Allah, to behold the face of God. This term liqa Allah appears in the Quran over 20 verses of the Quran. So the fact that the Shia are somehow blamed and censured for believing in this concept of liqa Allah is incorrect, because this is something that is based on the Quran. So liqa Allah is one way in which God describes the end of humankind, to behold the beauty of God. I explained how liqa Allah is achieved, or what it actually means. I explained the hierarchy of existence and how all existence is interconnected and how all existence is the manifestation of God. And that therefore, all creatures, including humankind, are connected with God in a metaphysical sense, not in a physical sense. And therefore, we have a way to God through our very hearts and souls. We should not see ourselves as disconnected. We should not see ourselves as cut off from God, as God the Creator up there and we down here. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. This verse is not figurative. God is with us wherever we are in a literal sense. In a literal sense, but in a metaphysical sense, not in a physical sense. هو معكم أينما كنتم. So we are with God. God is always with us. We have a way to God. The question that was posed was, then if we are actually connected with God in a metaphysical sense, why do we not see Him? Why are we not aware of God in a conscious way? Why just like in this world, when we're in contact with someone, we see them, we behold them. How is it that if we are in contact with God, we do not see Him? The answer to this was that there are veils, there are hujub, that bar us from seeing God. These hujub are nothing other than the various levels of existence I talked about. Being in each level blinds us to see the creatures and the truths and the mysteries of the higher realms of existence. In the cosmic scheme of things, the human being is the only creature, the only being who is equipped with the apparatus, with the means whereby he can ascend the levels of existence, whereby he can remove the veils that blind him from seeing the higher realms of existence. No other creature is capable of achieving this. Neither the angels nor the animals. No other creature is capable of doing this. It's only the human beings who can ascend. You've all heard of the story of Mi'raj, where the Prophet and the angel go up to the heavens, and heavens here again means, is intended in a metaphysical sense, and after reaching a certain level, Archangel Gabriel turns to the Prophet and says, I'm sorry, but I cannot move beyond this point. If I move beyond this point, my wings will burn. That's a figurative way of putting this truth, of expressing this truth, that even the angels do not have the capacity to ascend. In the Quran, God describes them by saying, وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا وَلَهُ مَقَامٌ مَعْلُومٌ. Every angel remains in that level of existence in which it comes into existence. Only the human being has the capacity to ascend or vice versa, to plummet. So we have this capacity to remove the veils. How is this achieved? How can we remove the veils? Removing the veils in the parlance of the Quran is referred to as tazkiyah. Tazkiyatun nafs. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Felicitous are those who purify the soul. Purifying the soul is another way of saying that one removes the veils. So how do we purify the soul? How do we remove the veils? The answer that the Urafa give, based on the teachings of the Quran and based on the riwayat from the Ahlul Bayt, the riwayat and the reports related from the Ahlul Bayt, is muraqabah. Muraqabah. Muraqabah is a key term in Islamic mysticism, in Islamic akhlaq, in Islamic spirituality. Muraqabah means to be watchful of one's soul and spirit and heart. Our heart is the way to God. Therefore, if we wish to be able to traverse the path of our heart, we must guard our heart. We must prevent anything evil from affecting our heart. We must enrich it, we must nurture it, we must nourish it. This is called muraqabah. To always be vigilant of what is happening to our heart. Just like when we want to achieve any other goal. If you want to get a degree, if you want to get a certain job, if you want to, for any accomplishment, for any achievement, you always are vigilant to acquire the requirements for that goal and achievement that you're looking for. For liqa'ullah and ma'rifatullah, it's the same way. The heart is our path, and therefore we must guard it. This is called muraqabah. The scholars of Islamic spirituality describe muraqabah as consisting of three general steps or stages. One is musharatah, one is observing taqwa or muraqabah again, and one is muhasabah. In other words, every day that we wake up, every day that we get up, we must remind ourselves that we are servants of God, that we are slaves of God, and that we must promise ourselves and we must pledge that we will not sin. Every day this should be what we do. During the day we must observe taqwa. What does taqwa mean? Taqwa means to do our wajibat and to refrain from muharramat. And at the end of each day, before going to bed, we must do muhasabah. What is muhasabah? To go over our day, to review what we did during the day, to see if we committed any sins or not. If we committed sins, we must repent. Inshallah, we'll talk about repentance in the following speeches, the following days, inshallah ta'ala. If we have committed sins, we must repent. If we have done good, we must thank God for what we've done and increase and consolidate our commitment to continue doing good. This must be repeated day in, day out. This is muraqabah. To guard our souls, to guard our hearts. Another element and another aspect that muraqabah involves is keeping ourselves away from environments of sin. If you want to nurture your heart, if you want to be able to behold the face of God, we must keep away from environments that strengthen the material aspect of our existence, the animal aspect of our existence. There's no need to go to malls every day, to hang out in malls when you have extra time, to kill time by going to malls, by window shopping in malls. Why? Malls, that's an environment of sin. It's an environment of worldly materialism. It's extremely detrimental to spiritual perfection to go to the movies, watch movies. I've seen good brothers in America thinking that there's no problem with doing that, going to movies. A lot of times brothers come up to me and ask, well, is there any hope or is there any way that we might be able to achieve spiritual perfection in America? Yes, but there is. There's always and there's everywhere there is a chance of attaining spiritual perfection. But if we truly want to achieve spiritual perfection, we must commit ourselves to what it requires. So keeping away from the environment of sin. A few years ago, I had a trip to LA. I was speaking to a very good brother. And then in the middle of our talk, he started describing to me what had transpired in that same evening when he had gone to the beach. And so the question I had in mind was that how can you allow yourself as a Shia, as someone aspiring to spiritual perfection, how do you allow yourself to go to such places? So keeping away from environments of sin, that's another element of muraqabah. And there's no shortcuts, brothers and sisters. If we want to achieve spiritual perfection, there's only one hard way to do it. And that is to persist in being vigilant, to persist in observing taqwa every day, day in and day out. There's no formula, there's no pills that we can take. There's no invocations or adhkar that we can say to achieve spiritual perfection without observing taqwa, without doing muraqabah. There is only one difficult way, but one difficult way that is extremely rewarding. If we remind ourselves of what awaits us if we persist in observing muraqabah, in observing taqwa, it'll make it easier for us. There's a very beautiful riwayah from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. عن أبي عبد الله عليه السلام قال لو يعلم الناس ما في فضل معرفة الله عز وجل ما مدوا أعينهم إلى ما متع الله به الأعداء من زهرة الحياة الدنيا ونعيمها. If people knew what blessings, what bounties, what pleasure lies in ma'rifatullah. I explain what ma'rifatullah means. Ma'rifatullah means ma'rifatun nafs, leading to Allah Ta'ala. If people knew what lies in ma'rifatullah, they would no longer set their eyes on the beauties and the pleasures that we have granted to the enemies of God, to the kuffar. وَكَانَتْ دُنْيَاهُمْ أَقَلَّ عِنْدَهُمْ مِمَّا يَطَعُونَهُ بِأَرْجُلِهِمْ. In the world, in the eyes of people that know and appreciate ma'rifatullah, the world for them is less than the earth that others trample on. وَلَنُعِمُوا بِمَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَزَّ وَتَلَذَّذُوا بِهَا تَلَذُّذَ مَنْ لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي رَوْضَاتِ الْجَنَانِ مَعَ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ. And they would take pleasure is not just something that you can acquire from worldly things. The pleasure of spiritual blessings is much greater. Remember what I related from Atullah Bahjat, where he had said, if the kings of the world, if the Salatin of the world knew the pleasure in praying two rak'ats of prayer, they would leave their kingdoms, they would leave their castles, and they would embark on praying. It is related from Shaykh Ansari, Shaykh Al-A'zam, Shaykh Ansari. The master of Islamic jurisprudence, a fiqh, who lived approximately a couple of centuries ago. It is reported from him that at his death, he, in his wasiyah, in his will, he asked that all his prayers be redone for him after his death. So he was asked, why do you have such a request? Why do you make such a request? He said, the pleasure that I had in praying, the bliss that I would experience in praying was so great that I'm afraid I was praying for the pleasure, not for God. It is people like Shaykh Ansari who know, and like Ayatollah Bahjat, who know the pleasure of ma'rifatullah. So تلذذوا بها تلذذ من لم يزل في روضات الجنان في روضات الجنان مع أولياء الله. They would take pleasure in ma'rifatullah as though they were in gardens of paradise in the company of أولياء الله. إن معرفة الله آنس من كل وحشة. معرفة الله is the company, is the solace from all solitude. وصاحب من كل وحدة. It is the company that if you have, you will never feel lonely any longer. ونور من كل ظلمة. It is the light that if we partake of, will never experience darkness in the world. Everything would be clear for us. وَقُوَّةٌ مِنْ كُلَّ ضَعْفٍ. It is strength in the face of every weakness. وَشَفَاءٌ مِنْ كُلَّ سُقْمٍ. It is the cure to all diseases. مَعْرِفَةُ. So it's worth it. It's worth to undergo this persistent commitment to muraqabah, to staying away from sin, to observing taqwa. And it's important to note that no matter how, what amount of good you do, no matter what amount of good you do, If you do not observe taqwa, it all goes to waste. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. God accepts actions only from the muttaqin, from those who observe taqwa, from those who have committed their lives to staying away from sin. If you do good and commit sins on the side, it's like you have a bank account, you deposit money in it, or you withdraw from the bank account and waste your money with the same speed that you're depositing in it, or even with greater speed. Doing good without observing taqwa is of no spiritual benefit. No matter what azkar you do, no matter what prayers you do, even if you do Salatul Ja'far al-Tayyar every day, which is a very spiritually rewarding prayer, if you do it every day but don't observe taqwa, it's of no use. There's a very telling rawaya, again from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. An Mufaddal ibn Umar. The narrator of this rawaya is Mufaddal ibn Umar. He's one of the very close and great companions of Imam Sadiq. He's the companion who has related the very famous rawaya that we know today as Tawheed al-Mufazzal, the rawaya of Imam Sadiq about the oneness of God, Tawheed al-Mufazzal. So Mufazzal ibn Umar relates from Imam Sadiq, قَالَ كُنْتُ عِنْدَ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Said, I was with Imam Sadiq. فَذَكَرْنَا الْأَعْمَالَ فَقُلْتُ أَنَا مَا أَضَعَفَ عَمَلِي. I told Imam Sadiq, my good deeds are so little. فَقَالَ مَهْ إِسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ. He said, quiet, say istighfar, do istighfar. ثُمَّ قَالَ لِي. Then he said, إِنَّ قَلِيلَ الْعَمَلِ مَعَ التَّقْوَى خَيْرٌ مِّن كَثِيرِ الْعَمَلِ بِلَا تَقْوَى. Doing little, just the wajib prayers, if you observe taqwa, is better than doing lots of mustahabbat. Then the Imam continues, قلتُ مفزل says كيف يكون كثير بلا تقوى. How is it possible that one would have lots of أعمال without تقوى? The Imam says قال نعم مثل الرجل يطعم طعامه ويرفق جيرانه ويوطئ رحله فإذا ارتفع له الباب من الحرام دخل فيها. A person does good, gives food to the poor. He does good to his neighbors. But every time an opportunity of sin appears, he does not hesitate to take that opportunity. He has no self-restraint. No matter what good he does, it's of no spiritual benefit to his soul. But on the other hand, if a person does not have the means to do all these goods, but observes taqwa, his spiritual station in the eyes of God is much greater. And that is why Ayatollah Khushfakht rahmatullah alayh, the great spiritual master who was a student of Allama Tabatabai, and who, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, I had the blessing of spending some time with him for a couple of years. In his majalis, in his meetings, whenever he was asked for anything, like, I am plagued with this spiritual problem or with that spiritual problem, every time he would give the same answer: taqwa. Observe taqwa and you will improve. Observe taqwa, you will improve. Observe taqwa, you will improve. To the point that some people would stop coming to his meetings. But there's no sense in listening to this guy. The only thing he says is taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. But his advice was based on the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt and on the verses of the Quran. Now, one particularly important element in muraqabah, in taqwa, is prayers, our daily prayers. God says, "Inna salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar." If we do our prayers, if we observe our prayers, if we pay attention to our prayers, this in itself, although our prayers are not the best prayers, although we do not have hudur al ghalb in our prayers, but just doing the imperfect prayers is itself a means whereby we can keep away from sin. A lot of us think that there must be some mysterious formula for achieving spiritual perfection. So Ayatollah Bahjat would often get this question: can you give us a dhikr, please? Can you give us a way where we can achieve spiritual perfection? And his answer would be, look at what God has told us to do. The prescriptions and the things that are best for our spiritual perfection are those that God has emphasized most. And what has God emphasized more than anything else? The prayers. Especially in America, where we work in places where there's non-Muslims around us, it's very difficult to observe our prayers and to observe them on time. To observe them, to perform our prayers at the very beginning of their time. The spiritual blessing and the spiritual reward that this can bring for us is very tremendous. It is related that Allama Qadhi, the late Allama Qadhi, the teacher of Allama Tabatabai, he said, please pay attention to this saying. He said that if we, every Muslim, persistently commit ourselves to perform our prayers on time, Whoever does this, whoever observes this, whoever makes this commitment to pray on time and does not reach very high spiritual levels, they can do la'an to me. They can curse me. In other words, Allama Qazi was sure that if you observe your prayers on time, always, at all times, every day, there will be no question that you will reach spiritual heights. We have the means. We have the means, but we're just, unfortunately, I'm talking for myself, we're too lazy to act upon them. We say we aspire to spiritual perfection, but we're not being genuine. We're not being sincere, because we have the means. God has given us the means. Allama Qazi has said, if we pray on time every day and do not achieve spiritual perfection, we can do la'an to him. That is how spiritual rewarding the simple fact of praying can be. Now, if we observe taqwa, inshallah ta'ala, and do our prayers on time, and wish to take a step further in the way of muraqabah, in the way of achieving ma'rifatullah, again, God has provided the means. Doing the nawafil, unfortunately, is something that nowadays Shias neglect. In books of history, if we read during the time of the Ahlul Bayt, when the spies of, say, Bani Umayyah, or the spies of the Bani Abbas, when they wanted to see whether someone is Shia or not, because back then it was very dangerous to be Shia. It was very dangerous. So most of the Shia would conceal their tashayyur, would conceal their faith. Just the fact of being Shia was enough to get you killed. So, when the spies of the establishment wanted to see if someone is Shia or not, they would go to the masjid and see who does all their nawafil. They would say he's Shia. That's how the Shia were. And unfortunately nowadays, again, I'm speaking for myself. So the next step, if we observe taqwa, again, if we observe taqwa, if we don't observe taqwa, nothing is of any use. If we observe taqwa and do our prayers in time, there is a next step that we can do, and that is in our reach, and that is doing the nawafil. Doing the supererogatory prayers, the daily supererogatory prayers, the 34 raka'at that God has prescribed every day. 8 raka'at for Salatul Dhuhr, 8 raka'at for Salatul Asr, 4 raka'at for Salatul Maghrib, 1 raka'at for Salatul Isha, which is 2 raka'at sitting down, which counts as 1 raka'at, and 2 raka'at for Salatul Subh, and then 11 raka'at Salatul Layl. To show you the spiritual benefit of this, I'll just read you a very famous riwayah that is related by both the Ahlul Sunnah and the Shia. This hadith is called Hadith Qurb Nawafil. Again from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. قال سمعت أبا عبد الله يقول قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في سيد صلوات اللهم صل على محمد Imam Sadiq says, I heard, Imam Sadiq is relating this riwayah from his great-grandfather, the Prophet. The Prophet said, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ God says, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدٌ بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ There is nothing more dear to me that people can draw near to me thereby than what I have made incumbent upon them. In other words, the wajib prayers that I talked about. That's the most dear, the thing that is most dear to God. But afterwards, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّافِلَةِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ After that, after the stage of wajibat, my servants, if they do their nawafil, they would reach a stage wherein I fall in love with them. حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ وَلِسَانَهُ الَّذِي يَنْتِقُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّذِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا إِنْ دَعَانِي أَجَبْتُهُ وَإِنْ سَأَلَنِي أَعْطَيْتُهُ When I come to love him, I will be the ear whereby he hears. I will be the eye whereby he sees. I will be the tongue whereby he speaks. I will be the hands whereby he grasps. When he asks me, I shall grant him. In other words, we will reach a stage of spiritual perfection, where whatever is we do is blessed by God. Our thinking is blessed by God. We'll no longer have evil thoughts in our heads. We'll no longer have evil images in our heads. All the evil images we've had from before will be erased. Ayatollah Khushwaqt would be asked sometimes, we watched movies in the past, or we did bad things in the past. We have wicked images in our heads. They don't go away. He said, if you observe taqwa and move in the way of ma'rifatullah, all the images will be erased. That's what this riwayah is telling us. If we do our wajibat, if we observe taqwa, and if we go take the further step and do the nawafil that God has prescribed, we will reach a stage where whatever we do will be blessed by God. Everything will be blessed by God. There's an account of the account that I'm about to tell you demonstrates how these spiritual things aren't just for people who choose solitary lives. Even for the most social people, for the most politically active people, there can be spiritual perfection, and spiritual perfection can play out in the most proactive spiritual atmospheres as well. Ayatullah Misbah, hafadahullah, relates this account between the rahbar, hafadahullah, the qaid, and Ayatullah Bahjad, rahmatullah. When the rahbar had just reached that, the position of the rahbar, when he had become the rahbar, the very first days, he sent a letter through Ayatullah Misbah to Ayatullah Bahjat. Now Ayatullah Misbah is narrating this, so there's no question about this, the authenticity. He writes a letter to Ayatullah Bahjat expressing his doubts about himself, I don't feel comfortable, he said to Ayatollah Bahjat. I don't feel comfortable, I'm afraid I might say things that are not in line with God's pleasure. I'm not sure of myself. Ayatollah Bahjat's reply was, don't fear, whatever you say is coming from God. Ayatollah Bahjat said this. Whatever you say is coming from God. And the narrator is Ayatollah Misbah. There's no question about the authenticity of this. Whatever you say is coming from God. This is not something that can be acquired overnight. This is the result of many, many, many years of muraqabah. Many, many, many years of doing nawafil. Even today, during the month of Ramadan, if you watch the Rahbar's prayers, he does all his nawafil in between his prayers. There's a reason why he's the Rahbar, and not no one else is the Rahbar at this point in time. Inshallah, I think we need to wrap up. So the way to ma'rifatullah is muraqabah. And the factors that are involved in muraqabah, the most important factors contributing to muraqabah, are observing taqwa during our wajibat, especially at the prayer. And then if we want to take a further step, the nawafil. If we persist in doing these things, inshallah ta'ala, we will definitely, by God's grace, achieve and attain to spiritual perfection. Please recite a salawat. Tonight is Laylatul Qadr. It is the night of the martyrdom of Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam. One of the a'mal, if you read Mafatih or other books of devotion, one of the a'mal that has been prescribed for these nights, for the Layali al-Qadr, is to give charity, sadaqah. In other words, caring for people in these very blessed nights that are better than 1,000 months. Caring for people, there's multiple riwayat that say this. Caring for people is one of the most rewarding things that we can do on these nights. So, I want to draw our attention to the fact that being here on these Layali al-Qadr, inshallah, and cherishing the love of Amirul Mu'mineen, we cannot remain without a stance regarding what is going on in Palestine and what is going on in Iraq. If sadaqah is so important, if caring for people is so important on these nights, then it is not allowed for us, it is not appropriate that we should neglect the plight that the Palestinians are undergoing right now. Kids are being killed right now in Palestine. So inshallah ta'ala, let us show our support for the Muslims. This coming Friday, inshallah ta'ala, by showing up at the Yawm al-Quds demonstrations, inshallah. Please let's not forget that. Say a salawat, inshallah. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. روحي لك الفداء
يا أمير المؤمنين روحي لك الفدا صلى الله عليك يا سيد الأوصياء It is reported that after the enemy of God struck Imam Ali on the head, Imam Hassan ran to his father and grabbed Imam Ali and embraced Imam Ali as his head was bleeding. The only thing he could do was to cry and shed tears. And as he cried, his tears fell on the face of his father. Imam Ali noticed the tears of his son and looked up at him and said, "Oh Hassan, why do you cry? Oh Hassan, you shouldn't cry. If you could only see what I'm seeing, you wouldn't cry. Oh Hassan, here is the Prophet welcoming me. Here is Sayyidah Fatima welcoming me. Why do you cry? There's no reason to cry. Ya Hassan, don't cry. Imam Hassan completed the prayer. After the prayer was done, they went toward Imam Ali's house. On the way, Imam Hussein saw his father, and he too started crying. Again, Imam Ali said, "Oh Hussein, there's no reason to cry." And they went to Imam Ali's house together. When they got home, Imam Ali said, "Take me to my musalla. Take me to where I usually pray." So Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein took Imam Ali to where he usually prayed, to his musalla. When he was situated there. The daughters of Imam Ali came to him, Umm Kulthum and Zainab. Ya Allah. Umm Kulthum and Zainab came to their father, seeing their father all bloody, his head split. They could not help but cry and weep and wail. Imam Ali had condoled Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein and had told them not to cry. But then as soon as he saw Zainab crying, he could not help but start to wail and cry as well. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Oh Ali. Ya Imam Ali, what would you have done had you been in Karbala? Had you seen Zainab wailing as they were cutting off the head of Imam Hussein? Ya Allah. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. Wa si'alamu al-lazina al-zalamu ayyamun qalabin yin qalabun. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin.